Well, amen. Thank you, Donna. You've heard the challenge now. Let's see some dry bones come alive today. I tell you what, I know that's what the Lord wants to see, and I'd certainly like to see that myself, as I know you would. So I tell you, you'd be turning to Exodus chapter 14, and you know, I thought about 2020. You know, last week we talked about having 2020 vision, and this week is the second week in the new year in 2020. But, you know, I just thought about, is this going to be a year where you look back or are you going to move forward? You know, we have a choice. We can't do much about what happened last year. You know, probably, I know many of us have suffered different things during the past year. Many of us have, maybe lost loved ones. Many of us have maybe faced some situations that we'd rather not have faced. But there's one thing for certain. And that is that none of that happened without the Lord knowing what was going on. You know, and I was reminded of that this week. And when some of you may have seen this, I read this in our Sunday school, or part of it this morning in our Sunday school class about Tony Evans. Probably most of you know who he was, or who he is, a football coach and a great man of God. And his wife passed away about a week or so ago, and I was reading, Leanne had brought and showed me the other night about what her son Jonathan had said at her funeral, and it just really touched me, and I really thought about that a lot. But he said, you know, he was praying that his mother would be healed, and praying that his mother would live, and he began to, you know, question God, you know, why are you not answering my prayer? And he said, God spoke to him and said, I am answering your prayer. You see, your mother's going to have victory. There's only two choices. Either she will be healed or she will be healed. And he said, and there's only two choices. Either she will live or she will live. And I thought, wow, what a word. What a word for this coming year, because, you know, God's answering our prayers. It just may not be exactly like we intended them, but He's answering them. And so we see this, I think, in our scripture today in Exodus chapter 14, when the children of Israel, and you know the story, I'm sure, but you know, they had been held as slaves in Egypt, and they had prayed, and God had sent plague after plague on Pharaoh and the people in Israel, people in Egypt. And so finally, God said, well, I'm going to kill the firstborn of everyone who doesn't put the blood on the doorpost, and that would be all the Egyptians. And so every Egyptian in the land, including Pharaoh, lost their firstborn. And so Pharaoh said, okay, I've had enough. You can go. And that's where we pick the story up here this morning. So if you're in Exodus chapter 14, we're going to begin in verse 10. If you would please stand as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word. It says, and when Pharaoh, in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt this with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, or let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I behold, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, that they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen." May we pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for showing that, God, there's a purpose and a reason for everything we face. God, we look back last year and we look back 10 years and 20 years, and God, we know there's many things that we have faced, but God, we know this, that none of them caught you off guard, and all of them were a part of your plan, God, to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, help us to understand this morning that when bad things come our way, that God, it's part of your plan. It's part of what you have designed for our lives. And God, we shouldn't be bitter and we shouldn't be questioning, but God, we ought to be thankful that you have us in your stead. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, as we look at this, and as I mentioned what had happened, the children of Israel had finally been released from Egypt. But as part of God's plan, he began to harden the heart of Pharaoh. You see, the children of Israel didn't know this. But once Pharaoh had released them, God had a plan. He said, "Listen, I want Pharaoh to know that I am the God. And I want you to know that I am the God." So, you know, what we see first of all is the depression that they face. Now, I've been in Baptist churches all my life, and I can count on one hand, probably on one finger, other than the ones I preach, the messages that I've ever heard anybody mention depression from the pulpit. But let me tell you something, that's something real that people go through. And that's exactly what was happening to the children of Israel. Listen, you know, they first did the right thing. We see in verse 10 when things begin to look bad, and they begin to feel terrible, they begin to be depressed and discouraged. The Bible says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh." Now listen, I guess to get here, let you understand what happened. As God told Moses to lead the children of Israel to the brink of the Red Sea. And so at the same time, he caused Pharaoh's heart to chase after them with the best of chariots, with the best of men. And so now they have them backed into a corner. They can either go forward and face Pharaoh and certain death, or they can go in the sea and face certain death. They were in a spot where we can't win. We're in a no-win situation. So obviously they became depressed. So the first thing they did was they lifted up their eyes and they beheld and they saw the Egyptians coming after them. They saw that they were trapped. And so it said that they cried out unto the Lord. You see, that's a good thing. When we're looking and we're coming up against a wall and we think there's no way out, we need to pray for God to help us. But what happened, unfortunately, was it kind of ended there. They began to focus on all the problems around them. When that happened, they began to see that the past haunted them. Listen, they thought back about who they were running from and what they were running from. And they obviously remembered all the terrible things that went on during that time. But listen, as they began to ponder it, and they thought about the pursuit that would hurt them, they realized that there was no way out. They thought that they were in a situation that absolutely could not have a good result. Have you ever been that place in your life? We thought, there's no way anything good is going to come out of this. But you know what? God finds a way to make something good out of it. You see, it may be a long time before we realize that. But we see the children of Israel. And so they realize that this Pharaoh and 600 of his fastest, best, most powerful chariots were after them. And they knew that they were going to face certain death. And so what did they do? Well, they begin to pout, the pouting that would hinder them. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We kind of get in a pity party and we think, man, everything's bad. Nobody's going through what I'm going through. And so, you know, what do? You know, they begin to get bitterness in their hearts. First thing they did was what? Blame Moses. Well, you know, You always blame the leader. You always blame the pastor. You always blame the coach. I mean, you know, it's got to be his fault. And so they said, Moses, good night. Why have you brought us out here to die? We'd rather be back where we were, enslaved as slaves and having no control over anything, than to be dead out here under your leadership. See, what they didn't know, but God was about to raise those dry bones and those dead hearts. You see, God knows so much more than we do. And so you know, they had the bitterness in their hearts. They blamed Moses. And then they had the bickering in their mouth. Listen, that's another thing we want to do, is say, we told you so. When things go wrong, you know, well, isn't it amazing how many people that told us so? They come out and they knew it all. Well, I could have told you that was going to happen. Well, you should have known that was going to happen. I tried to tell y'all and you wouldn't listen to me. Now look at us. I mean, I believe what we see in the children of Israel in the wilderness is the beginning of the Baptist denomination. Bless God, blame it on somebody else. And then tell them, I told you so. Well, unfortunately, that doesn't work with God. It didn't work here, but we saw that bickering, and then we saw the belligerence in their minds. Listen, they thought. Isn't that what sin does to us? Sin makes us think that we're better off serving Satan than serving the Lord. I mean, think about this. But you see, what happens is people refuse sometimes to agree with God on sin. And you know, that's why we, our Sunday school, and we talked about Adam and Eve and you know, how easily Satan deceived Eve and how easily Eve deceived Adam. But you see, the problem is that we think we know better than God. See, the children of Israel thought they knew a lot more than God. They said, well, listen, Moses, you brought us out here to die. And I know why you did it. There's another thing that said, the reason you brought us out here because you didn't have any place to bury us back in Egypt. So now you brought us out here where you can bury us, right out here in the wilderness. No. Moses took them out there because that's what God told them to do. And so these people in their depressed state and in their negative state, they had all this bitterness and all this bickering and all this belligerence, just outright doubting God. Which brings us to the next point, the doubting that they found. Listen, in verse 12, when they focused on their problems, they began to doubt. You know, it's easy to focus on what's going on in our lives rather than what God's doing. It's easy to focus on what's going wrong instead of what's going right. You see, most people, when we have a problem that we're facing, we spend all of our time focusing on that problem, all of our time worrying about that problem, and we don't see all that God's doing around us. You see, that's part of Satan's plan. He wants to distract you. He wants to depress you. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to get focused on something other than God. You know, I was reminded when I was studying about this, about Peter. You all know what happened to him in the storm. But Jesus said, jump out of the boat and come on over here to me. Well, Peter just, man, he hopped down. He, whoom! Then all of a sudden he started looking at the waves around him. All of a sudden he said, man, this water not supposed to hold me up. Down he went. What happened? He took his eyes off Jesus. He began to focus on everything that was going on around him instead of focusing on the Lord. You see, when he put his eyes on the Lord, he come up. When he focused back on the Lord, he wasn't focused on everything that was going on around him. He was focusing on what God was doing for him. You see, that's what the place the children of Israel found. All they could see was all these men of war coming after them. In the midst of all that, they forgot God's promise. You see what had happened? God had promised them years before. Said, I've got a place that I'm going to take you. It's full of milk and honey. It's going to be a place like none you've ever seen before in your life. Same promise he gives us today. to the Christian, no matter what happens here, He's getting us to the promised land. He's getting us to a place where there will be no more tears. There will be no more bitterness. There will be no more complaints. There will be no more of these things. He's promised us that to the Christian. See, without Christ, you're going to die in the wilderness. But with Christ, you're going to claim the promise. And so they had forgotten God's promise. He had promised them. Matter of fact, what did He do? Once they left Egypt, God put a cloud in the sky. And it glowed at night and it shined in the light and in the daytime. And it guided them every step of the way. And as long as they followed God's direction, they went exactly where He would have them to go. Now all of a sudden, they got their backs to the sea, the army in front of them. You know where the cloud was? Right there with them. The cloud was there with them. God knew what He was doing. He knew where He led them. Because see, He'd already told Moses, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart or control his heart so that he's going to have such bitterness in his mind that all he's going to focus on is coming to kill the very people that he released. He regretted doing that. So in verse 13, then we see the directions that they fought. Listen, it said, and Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again. Think about that. What a promise He'd given. He said, so first of all, we need to consider why we're scared. I used to have a friend, he'd say, if you're scared, say you're scared. You know, but why are you scared? You know, well, the reason many times we lose faith and we're scared, it is because of a lack of faith. We don't believe the promises that God gives us. Listen, to the Christian, I've told you this, and I'll say this as long as I'm your pastor. Nothing is just happenstance in your life. Nothing is just perchance. God has our whole life planned out. And it's up to us to follow that direction. And so when we get off the track, sometimes that's when we go through things. Sometimes that's where we put ourselves in a place that we shouldn't be, that God doesn't want us to be there. So we look and see, why are we scared? Then secondly, though, Moses said, look, consider where you stand. Are you standing with the Lord? Or are you standing in debt and doubt? See, Moses gives them three precepts in this little verse here. But first of all, it was peace. He says, fear not. Fear not. Listen, don't fear. Live your life in peace. Because God only saves through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, we need to understand that. You know, fear not. And then he also talks about patience. Stand still. Sometimes God tells us to stand still. You know what? Sometimes the best thing we can do to follow God is stand still and listen. You see, we can get too busy running around doing, but we're not standing. So Moses says, start with, wait a minute. Stand still. Have patience. And then he says, have persistence. Hold your peace. Listen, stay right there. And then consider how you're saved. You see, God can only save. Folks, there's a lot of people that look for salvation in a lot of different ways. But again, something you've heard me say time and time again, and that is simply, there is no other way to be saved except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Get to the Father, you must go through Him. He is the way, the life, and truth. No one comes before Him except through Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that. Moses says, listen, think about your salvation. See the salvation of the Lord. He said, I think what Moses was telling me is until you stand still and you quit being scared and you quit focusing on your circumstances, you're not going to be able to see how the Lord. I think with all my heart, that's how a lot of people end up dying and going to hell because they focus so much on their circumstance, they focus so much on their baggage, they focus so much on the things that they've done wrong, they don't focus on the right things that Christ will do for them. You see, none of us are perfect. You've heard me say that 1,000 times in the 6 months I've been your pastor. But you know what? There is no perfect person except the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all got sin. None of us have a right to throw stones at anyone else. And so Moses said, just hang on there, boys. Wait just a minute. Stand still. And basically he was saying, claim your faith. If you claim to be a man, a woman of faith, he said, stand still. Then finally we see the deliverance that they felt. Verse 14, he says, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Folks, too many times we try to fight our own battles. Man, I tell you, I can't think of the number of times I've tried to fight my own battles and lost. Matter of fact, you're probably going to lose every time. You know, if you're fighting a battle and struggle with a certain sin or something, certain habit, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to beat it. You have to turn it over to God and give it to Him. Let Him fight the battle. That's such a comforting thing to me is when Moses says, look, folks, hold your peace, stand right here, and the Lord is going to do exactly what He said. He will fight for you. See, move forward on God's promise. Move forward on God's promise. He will fight for you. You see, He is our defender. See, God will defend us at every juncture. Like I said, point four is the deliverance they felt. Move forward on God's promise. He will fight for you. When you allow Him to fight for you, then guess what? We'll move from bitter to better. You see, we've got to stop the blame game. Talked about that in Sunday school. Eve blamed the devil, Adam blamed Eve, and as a result, everybody failed. As a result, you see, the reason Eve failed, the reason Adam failed, is they did not believe what the Lord had told them. You see, they saw this tree there, and Satan said, oh, you go on out there and you go ahead and take of that fruit and guess what? You'll be like a god. You'll know the difference in good and evil. The problem was is that before they did that, the only thing they needed to know was good. It was only when they took of that fruit of that tree that God had forbidden that they knew what evil was. So folks, you don't get in the blame game, blame Adam and Eve. It's their fault. Hadn't been for them, we wouldn't even know what evil was. But I'm going to tell you something, though. See, God makes each one of us accountable for our own. We can blame someone else. If that makes you feel good, go ahead and blame them. But you know what? It's not going to get you to the kingdom of God. It's not going to make your life better. It's basically not going to make your life better if you blame God. What we find here is what God's plan was. His plan was to put them in a situation where they could move from bitter to better, and secondly, from complaining to confidence. Moses said, it's time for us to walk forward on the promise that God gave us. God told us that we were going to the promised land. He told us we're going to the land of milk and honey. He told us we're going to a place. He also told them they might have to fight for it when they got there. But the fight was not the Red Sea. God had all that planned out. He said, listen, I want you to go from bitter to better, and I want you to go from complaining to confidence. I want you to walk on my promise. And then finally, he says, I want you to move forward on God's power. Move forward on God's power. We go from fear to faith. I want to read the last 3 or 4 verses of this chapter, beginning in verse 28. It says, and when the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. What did God tell them? After this day, you'll never see any one of these folks again. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land, and in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea. Again, what did God tell them? You follow me, and the only time you'll ever have to worry about seeing these people is floating in the sea. And Israel saw the great work of the Lord, which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You see, folks, as our Sunday school lesson suggested this morning, why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? I can't answer that. In all the years I spent in the youth ministry, I had that question asked me 1,000 times, never answered it. But what I can answer with all the confidence in the world this morning is that whatever God allows us in our life, it's to make us better people. And it's to give Him the honor and glory. And I thought about when that sea separated. Now, that's another whole message, but first thing, it took a lot of faith to step out. But I want to tell you something, if I'd been there and saw that sea separate, I'd have run through it. But you know, I bet you what happened is when they went, and then when all those high-tech chariots run across behind them, they probably started gathering, catching up to them once again. They said, we're going to get them before we get to the other side. And all of a sudden, as the children of Israel would pass through, the water would fill in. And I suspect somewhere in the middle of the Red Sea, Pharaoh said, uh-oh. He was right. You see, it's too late when the sea's caving in on us. See, the time to exercise our faith is now. See, I believe with all my heart, people live miserable lives because they allow their circumstances ruin their lives. Folks, I cannot give you a better word in 2020 than to move forward on God's promises and move forward in God's power. Anything less than that, you're going to fail. I have no idea what's going to face any of us in 2020, but I can promise you this. You take last night, it could have been very easy yesterday afternoon. Some of us couldn't have been here. All it takes is one big tree falling the right way, we're gone. Let me tell you something. God spared you this morning for a reason. Now, I don't know why He opened the Red Sea up and spared us yesterday afternoon, but He did. And He did that so that you would stand on His promises and that you would stand in His power. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ and Christ alone for eternal life, listen, nothing else that happens is going to matter in 2020. You can't stand on His power because you don't have it. You can stand on His power to save you, and you can stand on His promise to save you. But if you don't stand up and come forward and submit yourself to Him, you'll never understand that power and that promise. If you're here this morning and God said, this is where I want you to come and go to work. Listen, God wants you to take that first step. He's got a purpose for every person in here that's coming to this church with a thought of, this is where I want to serve. If God's put that in your heart, then why do you wait? Come on. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been living in fear. You've been afraid. I can tell you there's no one else to put your faith in except the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one else that can remove your fear. I thought about the storm, and we can do all kind of things to protect ourselves in that storm, but you know what? The only thing we really need is the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us sense enough to do what we need to do. Kind of got tickled with Ann telling me about her mother yesterday, and she called, see if she's in a safe place. She said, yeah, got my helmet on, got my headlight on my helmet, got a whistle in one hand, my cell phone in the other. You know what? She was ready. She was ready. I mean, you know, if a tree fell on her house, she was ready. But you see, that's the way we ought to be this morning. If that tree falls, you need to be ready. You need to make sure that everything's straight between you and the Lord. You need to make sure that you're standing on His promise and standing in His power. Please do what the Lord's leading you to do this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank You so much just for the message that we've seen in Your Word. And now, God, decision time. Lord, there's many people that are probably just afraid to take that step. There's many people, God, that probably just say, well, it'll be a better day. But God, as we know, today is the day of salvation, and today is the day to do business with You. God, I pray right now that You've touched hearts, and You've touched hearts to move, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Won't you stand? Won't you come? Be the first one to step out this morning. Don't wait on someone else.